And now for something completely different.
Welcome to Shout Out. Out of the closet and into your ears.
Hello and welcome to Shout Out. I'm Steffi Barnett.
And I'm Andy Shield. And today on the show, Les Be Mindful.
I chat to Kaylee about the upcoming get-together in Malaga.
And Mattia De Luca.
She's an award-winning transgender filmmaker we met at Pride.
She's embarking on a directorial debut and she's here to talk all about it and a lot more.
All that. And, as always, a lot more.
Today here on Shout Out.
I thought you were going to slip up on directorial.
I know. I really should.
Fancy putting that word in there.
Well, we got to try and keep up with Terry, you know. I mean, he's always got tongue twister in the news somewhere.
Or Welsh. That's why he might be doing it on his own tonight.
Why, have you got tongue twisters in them tonight, have you?
No, he just said that he wanted to steal the show, and I said, that's all right, let your star shine bright.
So, no, she's not here tonight, but can we say happy birthday to Tara?
Happy birthday.
So, bless her.
How old is she today, do we know?
I don't think you asked a lady her age.
Okay. Thing.
I think
no
I got...
No older than seven.
I think I got at least 10 years on Tara.
10 years?
At least.
So you're 62.
Really?
Yeah. I'm going to guesstimate. Yeah, I reckon she's 48. Tara, text in. Or email us at... I actually don't know our email address.
studio@shoutoutradio.lgbt.
Email.
Yeah. There you go, now you know it. Yeah.
So does the planet.
I haven't got headphones on, which is very strange.
Look at her. So we've not got enough. We probably haven't got enough sockets.
You could share an ear with a Darren.
Oh no, it's okay. I just enjoyed watching a Darren try to put those headphones on. Is that working?
No.
So they're your own headphones, aren't they? They're really weird. They twist in every single direction possible. Those. I don't quite know how you managed to figure that out. So
I can't turn it back now. I don't know. Oh. No, I don't work
here. We're always this profesh. Yeah. Shout out,
Rainier. I don't need headphones. I can just... Okay, there we go.
So she can't see this, but my headphones turn sideways, left ways, right ways. They're pan-romantic.
You'll have to take a photo of you two and put it up on Instagram or something so people can see. Because the ones you've got will make you look like a cyborg, if you ask me. Don't they? They do.
Cyborg. What?
Cyberman. You
Cyberman.
Mean.
Cyberman.
Cyberman.
Yeah. Doctor Who.
Yeah.
Yeah. Never liked the Cyberman.
Bad neighbours. They never clean up after themselves. Yeah. Bad neighbours.
Yeah. Yeah. I prefer Daleks.
Oh, the Daleks, charming people.
Yes.
I had them round for cream tea the other day.
Yeah. They have to use ramps.
The Daleks. Is that hyphenated?
Daleks.
The Daleks.
That's plural, Daleks. Dear. If you come from Gallifrey and have two hearts, you'll know what we're talking about.
I do know what you're talking about. I just love the Bristolian...
two hours.
Yeah.
It's a Dalek.
See, now I can understand you all. For years, I've not been able to understand a word you say.
It's funny, because, I mean, I've called myself Bristolian because I've been here since I was 18, came here for uni. But I never thought I picked up much of the accent. But I go home to my folks and my sister down in Southampton, and they're like, you've got a really West Country accent. And I'm like,
no, you are.
I don't think I do. No. I'm like, have you met Steph?
We have somebody in the room tonight, lovely guest, who's not from Bristol or the UK. Is that right?
Australia.
Definitely not from Bristol, that's for sure.
Where are you from?
That's a very good question.
Okay.
You don't have much of an accent.
No, when I was living in America, a lot of people... I would get a question in America that I got nowhere else, which was, do you have an accent? And I kind of thought, I don't know, maybe I do, maybe I don't. But born in Australia, my parents are both Italian, and I've kind of lived all over the world. So
does that mean you speak Italian too?
I speak Italian.
Oh, yeah.
But yeah, it's...
an Australian. Can you do an Australian accent?
I mean, when I start talking about Australia, I think I sound a little bit more Australian.
Yes, you do.
If I start talking about America, I sound a little bit more American. If I start talking about the UK, I sound a bit more British. Then you get me saying things like risotto and bolognese and all of those things, ragu, and I sound Italian.
There'll be a lot of people say more.
Yeah, accents are...
It's a real, it is, I mean, if you don't know Italian, you listen to it, it does just sound like someone's like trying to come on to you the whole time, doesn't it?
Oh, wow, you know, okay. We took a leap there.
You can speak fluent Italian, can't you? All it is hand gestures. And put an A on the end.
Yes, I mean, I'm not doing it right. I do have Italian family.
Oh, how to stereotype the entire country.
She's stereotyping me and my accent.
I mean, a good hand gesture in Italy really doesn't go wrong. So
No,
yeah. They do like them a lot, don't they? It's a bit like the French with the horns in the car. So I've done a few weeks in Paris, and all you can hear when you're in a taxi is beep, beep, and you're like, for the love of God, it's deafening.
They've got places to go, people to see.
That's right.
Yeah.
Eiffel Tower.
Can I just say that we were chatting to Mattia then, and we will be chatting a lot more in depth to Mattia later on, but we do have a pre-record first, don't we? Are we going to have a track first?
No, we're into I thought we might end up talking to Mattia for... quite a while, so I dropped the track.
You've dropped the track.
I dropped the track.
You like dropping things.
Go DJ,
well, people,
Andy.
I mean, what do you want to listen to? DJ. Music or informational stuff?
I feel so important all of a sudden.
No, this is just for you to actually sing. We're not... We're,
oh, no.
So, anyway, do you want to intro this one then? Because you did this, didn't you?
Yeah, well, first, I think Matt is going to sing something from Kylie Minogue's...
Oh, okay, sorry. Yeah, hang on. I'll get rid of the backing track. There we go.
You know, no more stereotypes. That's it. We've got it out.
Padam, padam.
Right, sorry. Did that again? What? Was that one of her new ones?
It is, yeah. It only just come out.
Oh, yeah. The remix.
If you want to go to Malaga, you need to listen up. Right. Has anyone got anything booked for October? If not, you could be on your way to Malaga. I'm joined by Kaylee. Welcome to Shoutout, Kaylee. How are you doing?
Hiya, thanks for having me. Great to be here.
Very welcome. Now everyone's intrigued. And
queuing
to book. Tell us how you come up with the idea of Let's Be Mindful.
So Let's Be Mindful it's been running for about the last 5 years. I actually started out running some luxury retreats in the UK. And I had this dream sort of in the background to launch a wellness festival abroad. So we've been running the UK-based retreats, and we moved into some really, really nice luxury glamping weekends. So it's just been a real sort of natural progression from my own kind of qualifications in wellness, in meditation, sound therapy. I've recently qualified as a breathwork facilitator, and just kind of like bringing all of those skills together and following a dream to create luxury retreats for gay women. So now we have these amazing, amazing experiences in the UK and abroad as well.
Wow. So are you spread out throughout the UK then? Do you just pick a place that you think will chill people out?
So that is probably like future goals. At the moment, we are generally running our events in Norfolk. So we have an annual glamping weekend in Norfolk. Norfolk is quite a special place to me. So that's where we started out. And we are doing some smaller pop-ups, probably more London-based or Kent-based, but definitely there's room for other areas. If anyone wants us to come to their area, please do get in touch.
Well, I think the enticement of Malaga, some October sunshine, which is pretty much guaranteed out there, isn't it? How did you choose Malaga? Is it somewhere you've been before and thought this would be an ideal retreat?
Yeah, so that's an interesting story, actually. I used to live in that area. So I used to live on the Costa del Sol, kind of moved there when I was 18 with my family. And I've always sort of had that connection to Spain. So it made sense as somewhere to begin to launch a festival abroad. I've got sort of friends there. I've actually got a really good friend there who was involved in the launch of Kiss FM. And so she she got involved in last year's event. And yeah, it just made sense to start in Malaga, where I had these amazing connections and a connection to a venue that's a bit like a lesbian love island. That's what our guests are calling it. So this was definitely the starting point, and it sort of may evolve from there.
Is it full board? So if somebody books it, are you like a travel agent? Do you book the flights, the hotels, and then the sessions?
So I'm definitely not a travel agent. It's good to clarify that. We do get asked. It is a lot of work just organising the sort of festival itself. So I organise the event, which includes 3 meals a day. So you get breakfast, lunch and dinner, and it's all kind of like healthy, organic, vegetarian, kind of vegan food. Our site actually grow a lot of the food themselves. And then what they can't grow on site, they kind of source within the community. So you get all of your meals and obviously your drinks, your coffee and tea and things like that, some light snacks. And then you do have to book your own flights. but other than that, everything is included. So all your workshops, sort of wellness workshops covering things like meditation, yoga. We have some talks. We've got some really exciting new additions this year. And then it includes like the evening entertainment. So we have DJs on site and we have some kind of like little sporty things, pool tables and bowls and football and things like that. And we've also got a swimming pool, so private swimming pool. We may or may not have a jacuzzi this year. We'll see what happens with that.
So, correct me if I'm mistaken. So you chill all day and get pampered, and then the evening you club all night. Is that right?
kind of. So it's very much a blend of wellness and party vibes. So the idea is that the DJs finish at midnight, but some of us might be staying up around the pool chatting. last year it was a lovely sort of vibe where a few of us just stayed up maybe a little bit longer than midnight. We kind of want to get a real happy medium between the people that want to go to sleep and get enough sleep. And then, you know, we've got sort of an early start, maybe around 8. So we'll have our workshop starting at 8. 8:30 for yoga and so on. But yeah, pretty much it is about chilling in the daytime and then finding your dancing shoes in the evening, letting loose. That's pretty much the vibe, yeah.
Okay. How long does it actually last? Are you there for a week or a weekend?
So we're there from Thursday till Monday. So we did sort of like 3 nights last year. And because it was so popular, the feedback was that they wanted to extend for an extra night. And I think that will allow us just to have enough time to sort of like chill, ease in at the beginning and then kind of like relax at the end. So the main party nights would be, you know, the Friday and the Saturday. But yeah, we definitely wanted to just give everyone enough time on site this year.
Okay, now how do people get tickets for this? How can they book?
So the best thing would be to navigate to our socials. So we are Lesbe Mindful, L-E-Z-B-E, and then Mindful. And we are on Instagram and Facebook at the moment. If you go to Instagram, we've got obviously all of our links there. So you can actually look at some magazine articles. We were just featured in Diva magazine. It's a fantastic article there. We've got our promotional video from last year on YouTube. So hit all of the links there and then a direct link to our ticket booking site. We've also got an event in the UK, which we didn't kind of mention, but that one is pretty much sold out. But you can get on the waiting list for that one. And our Malaga event is about 50% full at the moment. So I would really, really emphasize taking a look as soon as possible. We've got payment plans to help spread the costs for the next few months. And we've got various accommodation options. So we've got options for solos, couples, friends, or groups of friends. And if we don't have something, just DM and we'll sort you out. Everything's possible.
You got all angles covered by the sound of it.
Definitely got all angles covered. And if I haven't, I'll work something out for you.
Right, now considering the UK one is fully booked, I'm guessing that you've got loads already planned in your head for 2026.
There's definitely always ideas buzzing around in my head. My head never stops. I'm definitely working on a few things. teasers, maybe there might be something else popping up in the UK by the seaside.
Ooh.
Looking at a few exciting collaborations, so can't say anything exactly just yet, but definitely thinking something else in the UK, maybe one or two events in the UK, and something else abroad, hopefully next year, additionally.
Excellent. Excellent. So what you need to do then, Kaylee, is get back in touch with us when you've got 2026 sorted and come back on and let us know.
Absolutely. You'll be the first to hear what's coming next.
Thank you so much for joining us on Shout Out, and I hope it all goes well. I don't know why I'm saying that, because it sounds like you're already successful, and I have no doubts that Malaga will be filled very shortly.
Thank you so much. It's our second year, so definitely it's going to be amazing.
Thank you very much, Kaylee.
Thank you.
Hi, this is Ultra Nate, and you're listening to Shout Out.
Shout Out.
LGBT radio for you.
The Shout Out podcast.
Are we all K-pop fans?
Yes,
are you?
Absolutely.
Are you?
I love how long. I've never seen such a long name. So we've got K-pop Demon Hunters, Sacha Boyz, Andrew Choi, Nekwav, Danny Chung, Kevin Wu, Sam UIL, Lee, and K-pop Demon Hunters cast.
Yeah.
Gosh, slips off the tongue, that does. Banging.
Yeah. They say it takes a village.
So have you actually seen this K-pop thing that's out? Because it's from the K-pop thing that's on Netflix. Yeah, that's like the theme tune.
That needs to be stored in the what's it called, the bank.
In the vault?
The vault. Because you both said that at the exact same time.
What? Netflix.
Oh.
Sorry, you get fast enough. You get fast enough. If I had my own mic, I'd like to say I probably could. I'm just a little bit too far.
Should I step aside so that then you can have your own mic to do it?
No, she can learn to share. They say pulling the mic away.
Yeah,
we've had some great one-liners
tonight. We can't hear you if you don't talk into the
mic. We've had some great one-liners
tonight.
We have,
yeah. What's your favourite so far?
Darren's had three in a row so far, but my mind's... What was your first one? It was very funny. Oh, yeah, just out of nowhere, just Eiffel Tower. And only I heard her, so I said, that needs to be played out again.
I have somewhere actually got a lot of recording, lots of snippets of the Shout Out team.
A few of me,
yeah, maybe? Yeah, there was a lot of you. I mean, you...
Just a few.
Yeah.
Is it like 60%?
I mean, I dread to think how many Steph's got from living with you.
Well, I'm the one that records things. Steph just tries to disassociate and pretend I'm not there.
I feel like on a film set, always the best things happen in between the takes.
Yes.
And it's like they're moments that just get captured and... Mm. No one ever sees them, but it's like it's those moments in between.
You never keep the camera rolling.
Oh, you always do for those moments. Yeah. Or like sound is always rolling to capture people saying the most obscure things.
Well, there's been the odd MP caught out with that, hasn't there?
Yeah,
because they were mic'd up. And
yeah, and I know it's not really like of the time so much. But Jim Carrey was known for costing each film thousands, if not millions of pounds more, because they never ever stopped the tape rolling, because every time he thought he'd stopped filming, all the good stuff would come out. So for Liar Liar, I think they had like over 100 or 200 hours.
I don't pity the editor.
No. No, exactly.
Robin Williams was the same.
He was.
He would just go rambling off.
Well, I mean, most of Aladdin was unscripted.
Same with Good Morning Vietnam.
Yeah.
The Pirates one.
Johnny?
Pirates of the Caribbean?
No. Same guy, Robbie.
Robin Williams.
Robin Williams, but he did...
Hook.
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah, a lot of that was ad-libbed and the like. So. And some films are done like that on purpose, like Pretty Woman. was not scripted.
Right, but you have to get the right actor.
Oh,
to really
yeah, of
do
course.
That.
Yeah, I mean, the very classic bit where he opens up the necklace and then claps it was totally ad-libbed, and it was so good it made it into the film. You know?
Well, you get such a natural reaction, I think. I mean, you get some amazing footage from scripted scripted pieces as well, but I always like seeing those funny, especially the, I mean, I love comedy, but I love drama as well, but those bits that nobody ever thought would happen.
A lot of the stuff we ad-lib stays in the show as well.
I've heard that, because we're so scripted yet sound like we're not.
Yeah,
it's
crazy,
a gift. I mean,
it?
Everything a Darren ever says, she's been rehearsing for like 3-4 weeks.
I've been going over that Eiffel Tower 7 times just trying to get it right, so well done. So,
well, which one of you two do the news? You do the news.
No, Terry's doing the news.
Just Terry. You're not doing it with
no,
him.
No, just Terry. I've talked enough.
Oh. Is there such a thing? You've talked enough?
Well, that's what Steph said, so I'm just saying, okay. Because I want a nice drive home.
Steph's in charge.
Very well then. Mr. Starr, over to you.
Okay. This is Shoutout News. Welcome along. And we start with an announcement from Stand Up to Racism, who have issued a statement saying there will be a Stop the Far Right march and assembly in Bristol. Meet outside the Mercure Brigstow Hotel, 5 to 7 Welshback, BS1 4SP is the postcode, at 11:30 a.m. on Saturday morning, the 9th of August. That's a demonstration against the far right. Top gay newswire Pink News says that transgender-fixated talking head Joanne Rowling is now turning on the chain store Marks & Spencer. The furore concerns a claim by a woman that her daughter was asked by a trans woman if she needed help shopping for a bra whilst in a branch of the store. Ms. Rowling has demanded that her followers boycott Marks & Spencer. LGBTQIA radical activist groups and those on the peace end of the political spectrum joined forces this week to mark the 80th anniversary of the dropping of atomic bombs on the cities of Hiroshima and Nagasaki towards the very end of the Second World War. The Campaign for Nuclear Disarmament issued a statement saying the US dropped the atomic bombs, killing nearly 400,000 people. The cities were obliterated and generations have been affected by radiation poisoning, with people to this day still suffering from cancers and health conditions. 80 years on, the risk of nuclear war is rising. Nuclear weapon states are building new arms, and arms control treaties have been abandoned. The conflicts in Ukraine and the Middle East risk escalating into a nuclear war. Even a limited exchange would cause such a devastating environmental impact that survivors would face years of famine. But as the nuclear threat rises, so is the opposition to these weapons of mass destruction. Public protest is critical to forcing political leaders to step back from the nuclear brink. Take part in the commemorative events being organised across the country, they said. Gay magazine Instinct meets up with Sam Williams, a bisexual Christian hailing from the English home counties town of Maidenhead. Sam has a message of love and liberation from the many Christians that welcome LGBTQIA plus people in the life of the church. Instinct magazine says, now a bisexual man walking into a church isn't usually the opening line of a feel-good movie, but faith doesn't always show up in pews and sermons. Sometimes it arrives in the most unexpected places, like an Islamic faith primary school during a pandemic, in the quiet moments of Friday prayers. As a teaching assistant, Sam found something rare, acceptance, and from there he turned to stories of earlier queer Christians, and it helped him. But what really changed things was community. He found a church whose beliefs didn't just tolerate his existence, they celebrated it. At the Union Chapel in London, Sam was baptised by a gay minister. A literal and spiritual mic drop for him. There's inherent queerness to faith, Sam says, reflecting on his journey, and he's not wrong. Both require conviction, courage, and the belief that you've been fearfully and wonderfully made, even if the world hasn't caught up to that idea just yet. The organisers of South Asian History Month are proud of what they're achieving this August. An intersectional cornucopia of events is taking place across the UK and involves institutions, libraries and meeting centres as they explore South Asian heritage and identity in the UK. Next week, you can join Queer Britain and W London for an exciting panel event featuring an actor, professor and a theatre director as they explore storytelling and reclaiming queer South Asian histories and creating cultural belonging. They are super excited for this event as people come together to celebrate visibility, voice and joy. The venue will be 10 Wardour Street in the heart of queer Soho and you can pay what you can. Doors open at 6:30 p.m. LGBT Nation reports that the gay former US Transportation Secretary Pete Buttigieg has summed up the end result of Donald Trump's latest move to conceal economic data in just two words: third-rate country. Buttigieg took to social media to post about how Trump fired the Bureau of Labor Statistics Commissioner Ella McEntifer this past Friday after she reported employment data that showed a weaker US economy than that which had been predicted. The president sees bad jobs again and responds by getting rid of the person in charge of the statistics, Pete wrote on X in a post that got nearly 100,000 likes. This is how America becomes a third-rate country, he added. Now, UK Black Pride takes place on Sunday at Queen Elizabeth Olympic Park in London. The organisers are marking the 20th anniversary since the first such event united the intersections between Black, Asian and LGBTQIA plus cultures in a safe space and vibrant scene. For information on performers, playlists and services present, please visit allthews.ukblackpride.org.uk. Fans of chat radio bid a fond adieu this week to the radio personality and unlikely queer ally James Whale, who passed on at the age of 74. Mr. Whale began his career at Radio Air in Leeds in the early 80s. His confrontational style made him an attractive proposition, and within 10 years he was networked across the independent radio stations then broadcasting and appeared on ITV's fledgling late night service. Despite being on the right of the political spectrum and occasionally getting into trouble for it with the regulators, Mr. Well did, according to the gay newspaper The Pink, once co-host a link-up with a conservative talk station in America. Well, the American team began their usual trash talk against LGBTQIA plus people, Well commented, "I've just about had enough of this rubbish," and cut them off. He was diagnosed with cancer in the year 2000, but successfully fought it for a quarter of a century. And it's also a goodbye to the British pagan radio station Wildwood, which closed down this week. Founded in 2010 as part of a dissertation course in pagan media, the station, which served people who follow earth-based religions and which included many LGBTQIA+ and neurodiverse volunteers amongst its staff, has had several absences over the years. But now the work of managing the station full-time has become too much for its owner, Hearn. The station's networking impact on a diffuse pagan scene and its championing of alternative music will be sorely missed. Several other pagan stations continue to broadcast via the web, and they are all based in the United States, and they include International Pagan Radio and The Cauldron. And finally, LGBTQIA plus business blog Queer in the World is certain that summer has not released us from its grip just yet, even though we have passed the dog days of the season. The blog says, "Now whether you're voguing at a rave, strutting down the Pride march routes, checking in on your favourite drag bunch, or simply trying to survive the sweaty drama of summer, you need a fan. And not just any fan, you need this kind of fan. These aren't your granny's church fans, darling. Giant, dramatic, mega-worthy folding fans designed for max impact and max airflow. Made to slay, built to shade, engineered to clack like a thunderclap every time you enter a room." The monthly guide to international LGBTQIA-run businesses goes on to profile some of these queer-themed fans available and the LGBTQIA plus shops where you can procure yours. Pop along to queerintheworldshop.com. And that's it for this week. I've been Terry Starr. Thank you.
Shout out. Shout Out News.
National and international LGBT news for you.
So you're saying you want us to get you a fan?
Oh, that would be fantastic. down the street.
Could you start the news each week with it for us?
You said... This has been Terry Stark, so it means you're not Terry Stark anymore.
Has been.
Just checking.
For more information about Shout Out Radio, visit us online at shoutoutradio.lgbt.
Shout Out.
LGBT radio for you.
The Shout Out Podcast.
The Bad Dreams by Teddy Swims.
I thought it was only 60s music that lasted 2 minutes.
Well, that lasted 3 minutes.
How time flies when I'm sat next to you, Andrew.
You haven't got your glasses on, have you? Does that look like a two without your glasses then?
I can't see anything now. It's a blur. That's why you're pushing.
Are you talking about this, or are you going back to UNS and
what?
Or the band.
Blur were a 90s band, weren't they? Not 60s.
Yeah. I got in there.
Okay, this is getting really weird.
Nobody saw that, but Darren did her very own lonely Mexican wave.
I'm very good at
Or like
well.
A car salesperson of just the inflatable outside.
Either one, it was good, but doesn't work on radio, dear.
It's okay, I really don't think anyone should ever see that.
Anyway, Mattia, everyone, welcome back to Shout Out.
Thank you.
Lovely to see you again.
Yes, thank you for
having
me.
And it's not quite so hot as it was at Pride.
Oh, definitely not. Luckily, there's aircon in here. It's great.
Yes, yeah. And it's also not 36 degrees outside like it was that day.
Yeah, it's a bit of a colder day. I'm glad that I brought my umbrella, although it seemed this morning like it wasn't going to rain, even though the forecast said it was. And then finally it did. And I was very happy that I brought my umbrella.
Yeah. Now, for listeners, we've asked Mattia to come back. We met you at Pride when we were interviewing Ace after she'd come off the stage. Bless her. She's off on tour with Miss Saigon soon and the like, if you recall. And it's not very often when you're on radio, you end up with a camera shoved in your face. And that was, long story short, kind of what happened, wasn't it?
We kind of put cameras in everyone's faces, so apologies for that.
So before we come back to what, give us a bit of background on yourself for the listeners and what you do and how you got into it.
Sure. I mean, like I said before, I was born in Australia. I grew up kind of all over the place, and for as long as I could remember, I've always loved storytelling. I've always loved film, TV. I grew up on The Simpsons. I think the first time I started watching The Simpsons, I was probably about 2 years old, so I got a really great education early on. Except growing up, I was quite resistant to working in film because I thought the only thing that you could do was operate the camera and act. And I thought the camera was fascinating, and I mean, acting is amazing, but I didn't really want to do either. But I loved telling stories. I actually kind of used to tell a lot of lies as a kid because I liked to test how believable my lies were and how long I could sustain it. But as I got older, I found out a little bit more about filmmaking. My sister actually went to film school in Sydney, and that sort of gave me a little bit more of an idea of how many different roles there are in film. And I, around 2014, I think I did what every teenager was probably doing. Well, not every teenager, but a lot of teenagers. I started documenting my life and putting it on YouTube as vlogs because I was moving from the UK back to Australia, and I thought it's an interesting time of my life. I might want to remember this, and I wasn't very good at keeping a diary, so I thought video diary. And basically just ended up documenting my life for about 2.5 years. And from there, I started to explore more as to like what you can do in film and what filmmaking actually is. I, for a very long time, wanted to be an architect or a pilot. So quite different, but I remember a math teacher.
It's staggering how things change, isn't
it? You know, I mean, absolutely.
You set out one thing and you end up doing another.
Yeah, and I mean, like I was going to say, a math teacher at school told me that I should aim for something a little bit more my level. Which
leaning up or down?
I think he meant down.
Oh, lovely.
And I think I went up because from there, when I moved to Australia, I found out that I could go to Sydney Film School when I was 17 and a half. So I actually left high school early and applied for film school on my own, for the loan on my own, and went and did it. And I chose Sydney Film School because they had us film on 16mm film, and they had old Steinbeck editing benches. So the first thing that we did on the course was shoot on film and actually physically cut the film. And it was just the most amazing experience.
A lot of people don't think about that. When you watch a film, and we're so used to a digital world these days, but it was, even to this day, I think some filmmakers still do things on traditional old film, don't they?
Yeah. I mean, it's so interesting because so many different terms come from those traditional methods. So it's like something ending up on the cutting room floor today. A lot of people don't even really realize what that means, but it's because the film literally ended up on the floor of the editing room.
A bit like in the stage stepping into the limelight.
Sure,
Because the light was actually a lump of lime glowing bright hot, wasn't it?
Yeah. And so it was a really interesting education at Sydney Film School because they really, from day one, taught us the meaning behind all of the terms, why we do things the way we do things, because they had us using those old methods.
So did you try lots of different things then?
Yeah, I mean, part of the reason why I chose Sydney Film School is because, as the first film school that I went to, is because they got you doing everything. So we learned everything from editing to sound to cinematography to directing to producing to writing. They taught us how to pitch, which was an extremely valuable lesson. It was probably the most solid education, most solid year of my life. And I learned so much.
So we ought really to let the listeners into what you were up to that led to cameras in our face then.
Sure. So at the moment I'm working on a feature documentary. It's not necessarily my first feature that I've directed or feature that I've worked on, but it's my first indie feature. And so it's a feature documentary about Ace, who you guys met on Pride. She's this just amazing, talented singer, songwriter, actor, model. She's also an immigrant, and on top of that, she's also a trans woman. And kind of the phrasing of that is really important for this film, because she is just a girl with a pair of lashes, high heels, and a dream. But being trans is something that makes her special and unique, separates this film from other films about musicians and their lives. But also isn't the main point of this film. She's trans, but it's that she's also trans. She's all of these talented, wonderful things, and also happens to be a trans woman.
Yeah. I mean, we'll probably end up rebroadcasting at some point, but her voice when she was singing on that stage was phenomenal. See why she ended up in Miss Saigon. But I don't think she's intending on staying in theatre, is she?
She's got so many goals, and she can do literally anything. She's one of the most amazing people that I've ever met, and when I first met her, I mean, it's the thing that everyone says in all of those documentaries about famous people. It's like, when I first met her, I just had this electric feeling, and I kind of thought, how are you not already someone? She just has this incredible presence.
So what about your journey? Let's go back to when you were growing up as a child.
Oh boy. I mean, you mean my journey as a trans woman?
Yeah.
So, I mean, for the longest time I knew that I was different. I think growing up, it was hard for me already because I sort of lived all over the place. I didn't stay in one place for very long. And having Italian heritage, I was kind of always picked on for my name and people turning it into different things. My hair being curly, they called me broccoli head growing up when I was a kid. And at six, that was a
kids, burn.
Yeah. But I don't know. There was always this thing where I felt different. And I didn't really know how to express it. And I remember when I started going through puberty, I was looking at the girls in my year and I was thinking, why don't I look like them? Why do my legs not look like that? Why don't I have boobs? And I just couldn't understand why the things that I wanted to happen to me weren't happening to me. And it was partly because there was, I mean, to my knowledge, no one else who was thinking those things. And then I remember that around 14, I was struggling a lot with my mental health, partly due to the fact that puberty felt so wrong and it felt like I couldn't stop it, felt like I couldn't control it. And then I found on YouTube the Jazz Jennings series, the docuseries reality show about Jazz Jennings. I don't know if any of you know her. She's this girl, American trans girl that grew up in Florida, and they made a reality show about her transitioning. And so essentially I found that show. And I remember it kind of, it spoke to me, but I didn't quite understand why. Around that time, I started telling some of my friends that I was bi. And then I sort of started saying to people, I'm just Mattia. I'm just me. But I didn't really have the right description for that. And it wasn't until the pandemic, when I was just kind of, you know, locked inside. And my girlfriend at the time did my makeup. And I just started to discover who I've always been. Finally started getting answers and figuring out what was missing. And at first I thought I was gender fluid. And then I realized that I wanted to be a woman and that I'd always been a woman. And it just, yeah, I mean, it took me, I guess, 23 years to figure that out. And honestly, some of the hardest 23 years of my life, but figuring that out was everything.
I mean, that will resonate with a lot of people listening right now.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, what would your advice be if you could go back in time to that younger boy at the time who was trying to figure all that out and didn't have an answer? Because there will be someone listening who's feeling that right now.
Yeah, I mean, I kind of wish I was more patient with myself, honestly.
Yeah.
Because back then when I, like, when I was 12 to about 15, 16, like I said, I was struggling with my mental health. I was quite suicidal at the time. And I was self-harming. And I think it was mainly because I just didn't know who I was. And all of these strange thoughts and feelings I was having, I tried talking to my friends about them. And of course, teenage boys were just like, what on earth are you talking about? Mm. And I think if I'd been more patient and just tried to like take it one day at a time and just allow myself the space to piece together a way of describing the feeling, then maybe it might have helped. I don't know. I think, honestly, the best piece of advice that I could give someone is be patient with yourself, but also just let it happen. It'll come to you eventually. You don't have to force things.
Mm.
You don't have to give people answers. Because even once you think you have an answer, that might change. I identify as a trans woman and my sexuality is pansexual now. And that has certainly changed.
And you're also an amazing director and, doing a huge, great documentary. I bet, yeah. I bet the younger you didn't think that was going to happen either.
Well, exactly. I mean, I think we all change. It doesn't matter what type of change, but I think growth is part of everyone's life. And I mean, if I was the same person that I was 10 years ago, then that would be deeply painful, and I think very few people would want to be around me because I certainly wasn't the best person 10 years ago. But that's
we're all a bit bratty kids, sure. As well, aren't we? to be fair.
Yeah.
So going back to the movie, you said it's going to have a trans focus, but quite rightly, not the main
thing
in it. Is that because Ace has had similar kind of things? What are you intending to kind of like point out with that?
Well, so, I mean, I think there are so many valid films out there about transitioning, about hormones, about surgeries, about politics.
Mm.
However, I can't think of another film that tells the story of a trans person just living their life and doing amazing things. And so when I think about the final film, I would say that it's probably going to be about 15 to 20% of it is going to have to do with Ace being trans. We're going to tell the story of her transition. We're going to tell the story of what it was like growing up in Vietnam for her and discovering who she was. But we mainly want to tell the story of her going from ordinary girl to star. And I think that makes this film special because no one else is telling that story. And I'm sure outside of talking about her transition and her surgeries and so on and so forth, just existing as a trans person in the music industry or as an actor in theatre, she is going to interact with people that are going to have something to say about it. And so that's why I say it's going to be about 15 to 20% of the film, because there's that unpredictable side where she could interact with someone that has an opinion about it. But that, I don't want it to be the main focus, because
you're trying to tell the story of her, not...
Yeah. And I think that's honestly more important now more than ever, because we are human.
There'll be a lot of people listening right now be like, I actually really want to see this film.
I hope so.
But one revelation that we were talking about before we were on air, which had not actually occurred to me, is just how long this project's actually going to take.
Sure. It's quite a mammoth of a project. So in my research looking at career trajectories of people in music, I mean, you look at Chapel Roan, for example. She's been making music for 10 years and has just, or 10 or 15 years and has just blown up in the last year. And so you look at other artists who've had amazing careers, like Amy Winehouse, and she blew up quite fast. But on average, it seems that it's about a 3 to 5 year journey for someone to get somewhere in music. And I think Ace, not to put pressure on her, has the ability to do that. I genuinely believe that she has everything that it takes. And
she seems very comfortable with the camera following her.
Oh,
to be fair,
she's a natural. Yeah. But yeah, I believe that it's going to be about a 3 to 5 year journey to make this film and tell this story in the right way.
And I guess that's just to record it. There's then the whole editing. Or is that something you do as you go along?
So I have an amazing editor who I've already started working with. I worked with them last year on a short documentary that I made called Through Ben's Eyes. And I honestly, they're my forever editor now. just a blessing. Rain has my heart. But we've kind of already started piecing things together. I mean, we put together a few little social media reels, that just short 1 minute things to show people what this film is. Because we had some feedback with our first fundraiser that people weren't certain the tone of the film. And I think that was because our first fundraiser started pretty soon after the Supreme Court ruling. And so people assumed that it would be angry. This is not an angry film. And so we put out a few little short clips to just sort of show who Ace is and the tone of the film. But because it's such a long-term project, we're sort of cutting it as we go. We're currently working on a proof of concept to take to production companies and distribution companies to hopefully get more funding. But yeah, it's a long journey, and I'm sure that there will be lots of editing once it's finished filming.
Cool.
So, yeah.
And am I right in saying that it's not the only one you're doing? If that's a 5 year project, have you got other ones?
Any
snippets you can tell us about? Or
sure. I mean, I have a couple of ideas hanging around. There's this fantastic artist in London who's currently going around drawing all of the pubs in London.
Nice.
Her name's Lydia, and I would love to make a film about her because I'm sure there's an interesting story there. I love football. I support Chelsea Women's Football Club. And there's this amazing guy that goes to all of the games. His name's Basil, and I would just love to tell his story because he gets the crowd going every game. And I'm sure there's an amazing story there. But yeah, I'm constantly hoping to be hit by ideas and constantly being hit by ideas. So,
I think you'll ever get into like the Hollywood style of things, complete fictional films?
And... we'll see. I mean, I've written a couple of films and directed some narratives in the past. I love writing. Last year, I actually wrote a feature script in 2 days. I used to really annoy my fellow students in film
school.
I have
a feeling we might be having her back on the show again. Can you tell? So, well, listen, it's brilliant to get to talk to you as well. And thank you so much for telling us your story about your experience as well. It's quite a moving thing to hear. So, I'm saying this because we've got like about a minute left. So, and I did promise you that we would mention your funding.
Yes.
So if people want to find out more about the film or get involved and help, and yeah, like, what do they need to do?
So we're currently funding on Indiegogo, but if you're on Instagram and you go to ace_film, you can find out everything about the film. There's a link to the Indiegogo page. We're currently trying to raise about £15,000 to allow us to keep filming this proof of concept. And it's got all of the info there on the Instagram and also on the Indiegogo page.
Brilliant. Cool. It's been an absolute pleasure.
Thank
and
you.
It was so nice having Ace Likewise. On as well. I'm hoping that we'll get her when she comes around with Miss Saigon. We must yeah. make sure we stay in touch. I can't wait to see the final thing now. I don't know about you.
Yeah,
I don't know if I could wait like 5-6 years.
I might have a snippet for you guys.
So, but yeah, there you go. So,
thank you.
Thank you so much for coming on.
Thank you, of course. Thank you for having me.
Well, what's next week?
I have no idea. Oh, yes, I
it's
do.
It's Bobby Packard, isn't it? So we've got more trans stuff next week, because she had a bad time of it, didn't she, at Bristol Pride?
She did,
Is it Kim Wilde's drummer started tuning up while she was trying to do a speech?
problems with live stage, isn't it?
Yep.
You know,
So she'll be on next week.
I was talking to the photographer, and he was stood next to one of them cannons when it went off, and he didn't know it was actually going to go off. A lot of confetti there, wasn't there, for that one? Anyway, that's it for this week. We are also looking for more volunteers. If you like radio, you want to learn to interview or be on the radio, research news or report on live events, please do reach out.
If you're interested in LGBT plus community radio, go to shoutoutradio.lgbt and get in contact if you'd like to get involved with the show.
As we said, next week we're talking to the lovely Bobby Packard, so join us for that. From myself, from the rest of the team, and of course the lovely Mattia, say bye-bye, everyone.
Bye.
Bye.
Shout out.
LGBT radio for you.